Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius. Germanicus is here. We're by the Thames in Londinium in an autumn evening. We'll go on to sacrifice to the great god Augustus, who is the inventor of institutions that exist in the 21st century, where we spend a deal of time speculating about what comes next. We have our retired centurions who are still unhappy with us because we spoke of the remains of their North African campaigns in a fashion which we accepted that their victories did not lead to success. Not yet, guys. Okay, we're still watching. However, we're turning now to a demonstration in the homeland. It's called No Kings. I believe it's happened before. The first time I heard of it, I thought it was some kind of betting line. I really did. I got it confused with something else where it's a sports gambling. But No Kings turns out to have been organized across the nation, many cities, and young people especially were keen on it. They wore T-shirts and had signs and seemed in general protesting the vote of 2024, in which they must deal with a couple of facts. One, the emperor won by a majority of the American people. Two, he won the Electoral College overwhelmingly. And three, the campaign promises of 24 by the emperor are being acted upon, which seemed to be the flashpoint for the No Kings protest. In other words, I don't even have to summarize that. You all get it. They're protesting the outcome of a democratic vote. Okay. However, because we're Romans, we're a little puzzled as to why young people especially are getting involved in this, because the empire doesn't overlook dissent. Never. It stays with it. It's relentless. Dissent is something that is very important to watch. The empire doesn't ever intend to be seen as weak, ever. One way to put it, in Vietnam, no matter that we lost, we were never outgunned, never. We lost badly because our mission was fraught and inconsistent from the first, but we were never outgunned on the battlefield. And won't be today. Now, Germanicus, I turn to you because you have a completely different viewpoint being in the D.C. area. No King seems futile and amateurish and trite, kind of cute, sort of like coming together and holding hands and singing about a better day. Do you see anything sinister in it? I couldn't find anything, although that won't bother the empire. They'll hold it against you forever until you repent, and even then you'll be suspect. But I didn't see anything sinister on the news or on the videos. Have you?
What is sinister is, in many ways, transcendent and in the ether. In other words, there's no conscious evil intent or invidious intent. The element that is sinister is the, or I should say lies in or reposes in, the deep ignorance of the people who created this entire enterprise, confection, perhaps. And that this ignorance is at the heart of the failure of the elite, because the elite America was always based on a high ground of knowledge, an understanding of context, of history, command of languages, a deep and abiding ability to frame arguments and visions with eloquence. And the problem with No Kings is, first of all, even if we have become an empire, if we look at the Roman Empire, what did the Roman Empire hate more than anything? It was kings. The Roman Republic was founded on the overthrow of kings, and no Roman emperor would ever say in his wildest dreams that he was a king. And in fact, there's an interesting new book, and this has just come out, by Anthony Kaldelis, a Byzantine scholar, and he argues that in many ways, even in what we call Byzantium, which was really the continuation of the Roman Empire, that they were still a republic in the sense that the people were first and foremost, and the emperor served them. And the purpose of the emperor was to create a realm, a polity, or politia in Greek, as the Byzantine Romans would have it, that was secure and served the interests of the citizens. And so the no kings thing is really strange, and yet it has a provenance which none of the creators of the no kings enterprise, or like I would prefer, confection, understand, and that is that the American Revolution was not a rebellion against the rule of a king, George III. The American Revolution was a rebellion against Parliament. The king was subordinate to Parliament, a la the Glorious Revolution of 1689. George III was a constitutional monarch. Yes, he had high symbolic importance in terms of British identity and sustaining the cohesion of British society, but it was Parliament that ruled. And essentially, the colonies rebelled against Parliament. And it's fascinating that the colonies chose, however, in the Declaration of Independence, to focus on the king. And that's understandable, because that is a kind of simple solution. It creates this kind of easy presentation. Oh, we're rebelling against all these excesses of the king, but that's simply not the case. Many scholars of the American Revolution have made exactly this point. And so to have a no kings sort of, I don't know what to call it, a happening, is to compound the foolishness of not understanding these things, not understanding that there is no way there could be a king. First of all, an emperor is not a king. And second of all, that the whole idea of kingship is incredibly alien to the entire American experience and will never be replicated. And finally, and this is the most ironic and amusing aspect of the entire affair, is that the whole no kings enterprise had to revise their presentation by saying, oh, we don't mean the constitutional monarchs in, say, Britain or Spain or the Netherlands or Saudi Arabia. This is only about the king in the U.S. It is a marvelously ignorant exercise.
Your standards are way higher than I would have thought was appropriate for the level of conversation about no kings. Come on, Germanicus. They skipped history for these kids. They got civics lessons. What you say is accurate, but it feels like here in the first century AD, it feels like men and women who know what you just said,
yes,
just smile and don't bother.
But the whole point is that kingship is fundamentally outside not just of the American experience, but of the entire Roman experience, in the sense that a king is the source of authority, and that his word is law, and that he presides over the people and knows what is best for them. And that is not what you would even see in the Roman Empire, and it's certainly not what you see today.
So what there are they saying? All right, you're correct. What you say is rational, but I unburden yourself. Stop being okay. Rational. What are they organizing about? What is it really about? Let's be suspicious. What is the motive? What is the tenor? Is it just to get people excited to stay involved? I can't tell. The Obama people,
yes,
worry that they're losing the moment with the young vote that they had in eight and 12. They worry about that. The Harris people, and she is toying with the idea of running. The Harris people want to convince the young people that they're the future, but the young people they're not educated, so they can't respond to what you're saying. So what do they think they're doing? What do the young people think they're protesting out there? It's not a king. Authority?
I think in an inchoate way, in terms of presentation, but in a far more deliberate and deceitful way in terms of the elite motivation and objective, the insinuation really lends itself to a comparison to the latter days of the Roman Republic. In other words, it's not really about kings. It's about the big men, you know, like, well, Crassus, Pompey, Sulla, and Caesar, that were supported by the people. It's really about the populism with a powerful leader that the, guess what now, wait for it, the oligarchy is threatened by. So the whole new king's approach is that of an oligarchy that is threatened by the rise of big men who reflect the will of the people. Because, in effect, America had become an oligarchy. I mean, sure, we had a kind of president emperor, but over the last 40 or 50 years or more, there has been cemented in American life an elite rule and an elite class which has the money and therefore the power, and that they feel that they were born to rule, they are entitled to rule. And what we have seen emerge in both parties for a long time, because you saw it in the first and second Bush administrations, but you do not see it in the Trump administration, is an oligarchy on the part of Democrats and their assumption that they control the commanding heights, all of the ruling institutions in American life. And they feel threatened by the fact that regular people have risen up and acclaimed a leader, and they want to quash that. But they can't do that any longer, as they were trying to do in the old days of Hillary Clinton or even Biden and Kamala. They can't do that any longer in terms of talking about the evils of populism and some kind of demagogic white supremacism, et cetera, et cetera. So in their desperation, they've come up with a wildly absurd, inconsistent, and unbelievable metaphor, which is no kings. And you can see that in the response in terms of memes on X and the Twitterverse. The populists have leaned into that heavily, having little AI videos of Trump in a Orban scepter and an ermine robe, like he was the king of England, because they're trolling. They're making fun of this absurd accusation. and the fact that it is not only ahistorical, but it is not something that can even be entertained or understood. It's just, it is like saying Trump is Hitler, all MAGA voters are fascists. It's reached the level of incredulity. And that's why I think it's going to fall flat on its face.
We turn to another problem, which is that Washington, D.C. is no longer adequate for a government that is, let's put it this way, theoretical these days, not actual. We have the AI crowding in. There are 600 data centers just in Virginia feeding the federal government and taking jobs away from the federal workers. So therefore, just in case, Germanicus and I are going to entertain where the new capital of America empire should be. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. We're going to pick a city, make a case for the Constantinople of the American empire. Gaius is John Batchelor. Germanicus is Michael Vlahos. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. We'll go on to the theater later. We're going to see A Farce tonight. We're promised a new production. But right now, where do you think the capital of America should be? Because D.C. is outworn its usefulness. I'm John Batchelor.